Charles Barkley, NBA yes. on TNT, joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Hello, Charles. How are you?
Man, what the hell y'all doing out there?
I'll ask you this first. Do you still want to be a GM?
Listen, number one, I thought I was going to be one last year, and I was really pissed that I didn't get the job, but I was the best candidate for the job. So I would listen to certain people, but I'm not sure at this stage of my life. But I did. I thought I had the job last year, and it pissed me off.
Which,
I hired another one of them analytical idiots instead of just getting the best players.
Yeah.
So that's okay.
What job was it, Charles?
Orlando.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know. Look, did you just break news on this show?
Well, of course he did. He always does. But seriously, I'm one of these guys that I'm with you. Talent knows talent. Nobody knows Phoenix like you do. You would come in here and people love you. You'd be entertaining. You would consider this. If Robert Sarver, and I don't think he's going to, but if he did pick up the phone and call you, would you consider it?
Robert would have to say to me, I'm going to stay out of it. I'm never going to bug you, and I would have to have complete control. Listen, you know what's interesting about that job? McDonald arguably had the best offseason of any general manager in the NBA.
Yep.
You know, I've been talking to NBA. I've been scouting NBA teams, well, talking to coaches and players for the last, since training camp's been going on. And between DeAndre, Aiden, Bridges, and Trevor Ariza, most people thought the Suns had the best offseason ever.
Yeah, people like Kokoschkov, they thought he had done a lot of good things. What it came down to, apparently, Charles, was the fact that here we were 8 days away from the start of the regular season, and they still don't have a point guard yet. And I think that cooked McDonough's goose, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but listen, first of all, that not with the draft and signings he made, that should have gave him more leeway. I mean, seriously, I think Aiden was the best player in the draft. Bridges, I thought, was a top 10 player. And I'm saying one of the reasons I discounted the Houston Rockets year is losing Trevor Ariza. Because mm-hmm. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the NBA. He comes back to a point guard. I don't agree with that at all.
You remember the good old days, Charles, when you used to come on this show and rip on the Suns for having too many point guards?
Yeah.
It's come full circle now.
Yeah. They drafted a point guard like every year for 4 years. And the bad thing, they could not ever play.
Yeah, that's right. Right. That's exactly right. I'm curious about this because Adrian Wojnarowski, he quoted somebody who said that even now, Robert Sarver's voice can be heard in the background when the front office is talking to other front offices. He's screaming. He's meeting with other agents without the front office knowing. Just more unflattering stuff about his need for control. This has been a common theme with him, yet he claims he's not a micromanager. And I've been told that last year, at least they made some headway in getting him to back off of the coach's office after games, all that stuff. Have you heard anything more about this? And in a bigger picture, how damaging can a meddling, always there, hyper-engaged owner be to a basketball team?
Well, I think it can be awful. Listen, Robert has always treated me great, but the rumors persist that he is too much hands-on, too much involved. I've heard that from Steve Kerr. I've heard that from Grant Hill, guys I work with at Turner Sports. And obviously, listen, you can't hire people then not let them do their jobs.
Yep.
That makes no sense whatsoever. But to fire your general manager after the great offseason, like, I'm really excited to watch the Suns play. I mean, for the first time, I can't remember the first time I want to see the Suns play.
Yeah.
But this year, getting Aiden, obviously that was easy, the best player in the draft. But to get Mikal Bridges, who was a top 10 talent, and then to put Trevor Ariza in the mix, this is the first time, and I can't even remember the last time I was excited to see the Suns play. Mm-hmm. And then to fire the general manager a week before the season, and your excuse is he didn't find you a point guard? Come on, man. He found you three starters. He found you three starters. There's not been a team to find three great starters going into the season, so I don't believe that whatsoever.
Charles Barkley, NBA on TNT, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. So the rumors today, Charles, are that James Jones will be the choice to be elevated to that position. And considering what you said earlier, I mean, he's not an analytics guy. He's a player, long career, has been around championship teams in the past. What do you think of him as a choice if he is indeed the guy for the Suns?
Well, I don't know James. He was a good player, and I hear he's a great guy. But that doesn't matter at all if Robert not going to let them do their job.
I know.
Listen, I mean, because it's been obviously a revolving door, but all that stuff is irrelevant if Robert doesn't let them do their job. Like I say, James, I don't know him that well. I met him a few times. He's a nice kid. He was a good player. But like I say, all that stuff is irrelevant if Robert not going to let him do his job. Like I say, I'm on the outside looking in. Obviously, I know Steve Kerr. I know Grant Hill. I work with both of them at Turner. And listen, Robert, he wants to be hands-on. But that's not the way this thing works, man. You got to hire people. Like I say, I'm disappointed for McDonough because, listen, I think – and I'm not just saying it because I don't think I've ever met him, to be honest with you. You don't stay out of the Suns' way, to be honest with you. I had my day. I stay out the way. But I don't think any general manager had a better offseason than he did. I really don't. I mean, obviously, Aiden was something. Everybody was going to take him number one. But to get Bridges and then get Trevor Ariza to come, he took a team that wasn't worth watching, and they got an outside chance of maybe making the playoff. But more than anything, they're going to be worth watching every night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you put it that way. That's certainly a different way to look at it. And I think a lot of it also stems from the fact that you're pairing now DeAndre Ayton with Devin Booker, and so far DeAndre Ayton has had a good motor so far. What, I don't know how much you've seen of him, Charles, but have you seen enough to tell me what you think of DeAndre at this point?
I think, first of all, he don't have a good motor. He got a great motor. You know, when I was doing all my scouting for March Madness last year, I watched him play probably 10 times. And I said this on the air, and so I'm talking to Clark Kellogg, and I said, Clark, I think DeAndre Ayton's the best college basketball player I've seen in the last 10 years or more. He says, no, he's not. I said, what do you mean? He says, he's the best college player I've seen in the last 20 years. And that's from Clark Kellogg, who gives a lot of compliments like he reaches in his pockets very rarely. I mean, and Clark loves basketball. He is like he can live and die with it. Like I said, I watched Aiden play 10 to 15 times, and I'm like, wow, this kid got a motor, and he's unbelievable. But Clark said it. He's the best college player he's seen in 25 years. And I think he's going to be amazing. Going to be great. Is he going to open up a lot of stuff for Booker? I think having a vet like and I said this, Trevor Ariza has been one of the most underrated players in the NBA for a long time. And Liz, you got Bridges, and I'm very close with Jay Wright, living in Philly during the summer. And so I spent a lot of time with Jay Wright the last X amount of years, and that kid going to be a great addition to the Suns team. A great addition.
I agree with that.
Charles Barkley, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You know what? People talk about DeAndre Ayton and all the things that he can do, but one of the things that I love about him, Charles, and you can speak to this too, is coming into the game as a young big man with his size and his offensive skill set, you can kind of pencil him in for 8 to 10 points a night from the free throw line. Not attempts, but points, because he's that good of a free throw shooter. He's going to cash in big time, don't you think?
He's going to cash in. He's a good free throw shooter. But the one thing is, he's not – like, listen, these analytical guys have ruined the NBA. because, you know, and listen, people think I don't like analytics, and I don't. Because analytics only work when you got Steph, Clay, and Kevin Durant. That's the only time it's ever worked in the history of basketball. You got three of the greatest offensive players ever, three of the best shooters ever. Yeah, analytics work for those three guys. But now, if you look around the NBA, they got all the big guys shooting threes now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, listen, Karl-Anthony Towns, who got a chance of being a great player, he's out here. He was the leading three-point shooter for the Minnesota Timberwolves. You got the I forget his name, Mike, because he didn't play a little bit last. You just the big guy who just signed with the Warriors.
DeMarcus Cousins.
DeMarcus shooting threes.
Yeah.
I mean, like, now he's like, no, let's all shoot threes. I'm like, big guys shouldn't be out there shooting threes. Now, and that's one thing I like about Aiden. Play down on the box.
Yeah.
Listen, who are the Warriors going to guard him down low? Nobody. But all these analytical guys now, because it worked for the Warriors, of course it worked for the Warriors. They got two of the greatest shooters ever in Steph and Clay, and they got arguably one of the five greatest offensive players ever in Kevin Durant. Yeah, they can shoot threes and survive, but it's not going to work for anybody else.
Yeah. What do you think about what is going on? We'll double back to the Suns, but I think the Jimmy Butler, the trade that has not happened yet, maybe Ryan McDonough thought he could wrestle Goran Dragic out of there. Maybe he thought he could get in on that trade. What do you make now of another set of teammates who just can't play together? And Chuck, I'm sure you've heard the rumors that this is just like Jamal Mashburn and Jason Kidd and that thing all over again. What is the matter with guys in the NBA? Why they can't stay connected to each other and why they get sideways so easily?
You know, it's really weird because the best thing happened to me was getting Dan Marley and Kevin Johnson and Mark West and those guys who could play. But, you know, you see now these guys have these hidden agendas where they want to be the man. They want to be the highest paid. They want to be the man. And they're stupid, number one, because you want to have more. Like, when I was by myself in Philadelphia, it sucked going out there every night getting my brains beat in. And when I got traded to Phoenix, I felt like a kid at a candy store. I'm like, oh, my God, I got Dan Marley. I got Kevin Johnson. I got Sabalos. I got Oliver Miller. I'm like, we're good. I know we're going to be able to compete. But for some reason, you know, you go back to Shaq and Kobe. Like, these guys, like, no, I want to be the guy. I don't want to share the glory. And it's so stupid because you go back and look. Think about Bird, McHale, and Parrish. Think about Magic, Kareem, and Worthy. Like, you want to play with as many great players as possible. But this generation, man, they only care about their brand. I don't even know if they want to, and I'm not talking about a guy like a LeBron or somebody like that, but I'm not sure these guys want to be great players. They want to make the maximum amount of money, and they worry about their brand. And it drives me crazy. I'm like, wait, you don't want to play with other great players? I'm like, y'all don't know anything. You ain't going to win by yourself. It's hard to win, but you ain't going to win by yourself. Yeah, you got your own brand. You got your own team, all that other crap. But, man, you need some help. But to win the NBA championship, you need a lot of help to win 4-7-game series.
Charles Barkley, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. You mentioned LeBron. He's kind of in a class by himself. And I've heard some of your comments on the Lakers, but is LeBron great enough to actually make them a threat in the West?
Not even close. They're bottom four seed. They're bottom four seed in the West. They're not, I think, 5, 6, 7. They're somewhere in there. The Lakers aren't any good. LeBron's great. He's, you know, him and Anthony Davis and Anthony Davis, the second best player in the NBA, in my opinion. Then I think you got Kevin, in my opinion, those guys. But no, LeBron's not good enough to get those Lakers deep into the playoffs. If they could win a series, I think that would be a really good year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. They're not better than Houston. They're definitely not better than the Warriors. I'm not sure they're better than Denver. I'm not sure they're better than Oklahoma City. I'm not sure they're better than the Spurs. I mean, think about it. LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan. You got two all-stars and a bunch of good role. I mean, no, the Lakers aren't that good, man.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're – and I actually don't know what they're doing, because are they playing young or are they playing old?
They could do both.
I don't understand. I don't know. No, that don't work.
Because
no, seriously, you can't be getting your young guys playing time with all of them old guys they brought in. That's what's going to be very interesting because, wait, are we trying to develop these young guys till we get a free agent next year? Or are we going to bring these old guys to try to be competitive? I mean, I just don't know what they're doing there, to be honest with you.
You know, one of the things that you said, and I love what you said about Kevin Durant, about how he's a fake tough guy, how he's really a nice, sensitive kid who's just trying to act like, you know, the villain, the guy in the black hat and all that. Why do you think he is just so sensitive, and do you think he's going to bail and get out of Golden State because after this coming season, because it's just his reputation's never going to change as long as he plays there?
You know, he's a great kid. And he's a great player, and he knows that he shouldn't have went to the Warriors, but that pretty much made them unbeatable. And he know, like, you know, I saw Walt Frazier say something this summer, like, guys from the old school ain't gonna never give him the credit he deserves because, you know, he just joined a powerhouse and made that team unbeatable.
Yep.
What's gonna be interesting with Golden State is the money, you know, because they got to play Clay and Draymond after this year, and we're talking $200 million each. So that team might not be – they might not be able to keep that team together.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin might go to another super team. So and then that would just piss us off even more. but, you know, man, you know, it's, I don't know if you can put the toothpaste back in the tube. All these guys want to play together and build super teams. They don't want to compete against the other great players. Like I said, I don't know if you can put the toothpaste back in the tube. So I don't know what's going to happen with Kevin. It's, you know, like I said, he took a really good Warriors team and made them unbeatable when he's on it. And it's just going to be, to me, the only team that realistically got a chance at them, but they got some issues, are the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Because people think just because they got all that talent, it's just going to work. No, it doesn't work like that. But Boston, Philly, and Toronto are the three best teams in the East. But in the West, I don't see anybody competing with the Warriors. The Rockets were close, but losing Luke and Trevor is really going to be a step back for them. And but listen, I just got to act like somebody got a chance for the next 6-7 months, man, and take my way through television.
Charles, last night, I'm sure you probably saw this, but the Suns beat the Warriors. It was in a preseason game. Steve Kerr got ejected from the game. While he was getting ejected, he waved at the official and said, "Thank you, I don't want to be here anyway." I think I know how you're going to answer this, but I started thinking about preseason NBA basketball and how few roster spots that mean anything are actually claimed during preseason basketball. Do we need preseason games anymore in the NBA?
Well, we need we always going to have preseason games. Is that just another way to screw the fans?
Yeah, but do we need them?
We don't need them. Hey, we don't need preseason in any sport. But it's just a way to screw the fans out on extra few $100,000, millions of dollars.
Yep.
I mean, these teams, yeah, I hate preseason. I have not watched. I got a call from work. You know, the season starts next Tuesday, and we have not had any calls. But, like, if you watch in the preseason game, I said, I'd rather cut my wrist than watch a preseason game. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to watch. I said, first of all, most of those guys are going to be working at restaurants next week. I'm
That's
not going to watch a preseason game.
That's
Give me
funny.
A break.
That's funny. You, I know. I saw about, I don't know, it was a couple days ago, you got an award from Temple. Dude, Excellence in the Media Award.
Yeah, can you believe that? They
yeah.
pay me to watch basketball, and now they're giving me trophies. That's crazy, isn't it?
It is.
It's ridiculous, man. I said, first, it was very nice of them to give it to me. I said, wait a minute. I thought I had a scam going where I'm getting paid to watch basketball, which I would watch anyway.
Yep.
Now they're giving me trophies. What a great country.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. All right, here's the last question, because your voice goes a long way with Suns fans. You're obviously very beloved in this community. You give the love back. You have our best interest at heart at all times, which is why you always come on this radio show. If you could impart some wisdom to Robert Sarver, stuff you've learned, stuff that he has to get over to get through this perception, to get through these 8 years without a playoff berth, to finally get this organization that Jerry Colangelo built into something incredibly special, what would you tell him?
It doesn't matter who you hire if you're not going to let them do their job. It's that simple. We can sugarcoat it, we can act like this or that, but if you're going to hire people, you got to let them do their job. It's not brain surgery. If you're going to hire somebody, you got to let them do their job. Like I said, I'm disappointed. I don't even know Ryan McDonough. I don't. I know his brother well. But let me tell you this. For a guy to have the great offseason he had, I mean, not a good offseason, a great offseason. Because, listen, the number one thing was DeAndre Ayton. Everybody thought he was going number one. But to swing a trade to get Bridges and to talk Trevor into Ariza to come into Phoenix, oh, man. I don't have a dog in this fight. But he had one of the best off seasons in the NBA. And to lose his job a week before the season starts, that just ain't right.
Charles, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on. Always appreciate your time.
All right, my brother. I'll see y'all next week. I'm moving back next week when the season starts. I can't wait to get out there to some of that good weather.
The weather's already changed,
you
by the way.
Beautiful. You cherry picker coming back here when the weather's nice and all.
He's not a cherry picker. He's smart.
Hey, listen. I love Phoenix, and I'm never leaving Phoenix. But I ain't stupid enough to live that when it's 115 degrees.
See you, bro.
See you, Charles. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Charles Barkley, NBA on TNT, our guest on the Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline. That's CoulterTempe.com, Coulter on Camelback.com.